from WBUR Boston and NPR. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. This hour could well be about you, about the day your parents sat you down to tell you they were breaking up, divorcing, and that you'd be okay, about what you've carried from that into your adult life. Writer-director Stuart Zicherman saw nearly every marriage in his childhood circle, including his own parents, go down in flames when he was a boy. He lives to tell the tale in a new movie, a comedy, called ACOD, Adult Children of Divorce. This hour on Point, it's funny and it's not. ACOD, Adult Children of Divorce, and what they carry with them into adulthood. You can join us on air or online where this conversation never ends. Did your parents' marriage fall apart when you were a kid? How bad was it? What do you carry with you today from that? How's it shaped your adult life? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Stuart Zicherman has made a very funny movie about a very tough subject, and he nods to it at the very end, under the credits. I mean, there's nods all the way through, but at the end, he turns the camera and the microphone to his own film crew to talk about their parents' marriages. It's an American film crew. There's plenty of divorce. Here they are, just a montage of their comments. These run under the credits of ACOD.
Yes, I am an adult child of divorce.
My parents got divorced when I was, five or six. I've never known what it's like for them to be together, and they've never been able to talk, and I've always been the middleman.
It was horrible, the divorce.
I'm hoping to break the curse.
My parents were divorced when I was 10 years old, but I still believe in marriage, and one day I will find the right one.
I'm an ACOD. I'm never getting married.
The film crew of ACOD. Before that, we've had quite a romp with a family where it was all too real and all too wild. Stuart Zicherman is director and co-writer of ACOD. His parents divorced when he was 12. He grew up to become a television and film writer and producer. He's got credits from ABC's Six Degrees and What About Brian to FX's The Americans and Lights Out. He's written action films. He's working with Steve Martin on a script for a film right now set at a magic camp. His first feature film as director and co-writer opened Friday. It is ACOD. You can see the trailer at our website, onpointradio.org. Stuart Zicherman, it's great to have you with us in one piece. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
It's a funny film. How did you know that? I mean, but you know, it's funny in that way that's funny and not both, and truly both at the same time. Truly funny and also, you know, if you've been anywhere near this world, you've got to twinge at it. When did you know you'd make a comedy out of this material from, I guess, childhood?
Well, you know, as far back as grad school, about 15 years ago, I was sort of interested in the subject. I mean, I always liked the, you know, you grow up as wanting to be a writer, and then you become a writer, and you want to start writing about things you know, and you don't really know how to do that. And, you know, for me, my parents' divorce was not, you know, necessarily the defining thing in my life, but it definitely, you know, I was the oldest sibling, and when you're a kid and you're going through it, you don't completely know what you're going through at the time. And I grew up on movies like Kramer versus Kramer, you know, things that were really sad and tragic.
Yeah.
My parents' divorce didn't feel like that. You know, it's sort of, I remember the day my mom told me that my dad was moving out, and it was like surprised, but not totally surprised. And at the same time, you know, in the weeks and months and years after, things would happen that were sad and tragic, but also things that were irreverent and funny and weird, you know. And you're a kid, and you don't really know how to process them. And then you start to get older, and you become, you know, what you think is an adult. And as I started to look back on some of that stuff, I realized, wow, you know, some of it was pretty funny. And I would love to make a movie that allows people to sort of reflect on their parents' divorces and not just feel sadness and weirdness, but to feel that there were things that there was some levity to it. And maybe that will help us all confront, you know, our past a bit.
Help us understand the story you're telling a little bit in ACOD. Maybe introduce us to some of the characters and actors playing them here to get a sense in people's minds. I mean, I've seen it, but lay it out for us.
Well, the movie is basically a single character journey about a guy named Carter who is played by Adam Scott, and
he's terrific.
You know, Yeah, he's terrific. And Carter is basically, I call him the survivor of the Titanic. You know, he's he's a classic sort of first sibling from a divorced family, which means, you know, he's grown up and he feels like he's in control of things. You know, he's sort of been the – he thinks he's the most mature person in his family and has been since he's 14. And he sort of is like the marionette. You know, he tries to keep the peace between everybody, and his parents haven't talked in years, and they've gone through horrible lawsuits, and life is pretty great. You know, I wanted to make a movie about a guy who thought he had it all together.
Yeah.
And then it starts to fall apart. I like movies like that. And so Carter, you know, is cruising along. He's got a great girlfriend, and he runs a great restaurant, and he's got great friends and a great apartment. Excuse me. And then his brother asks him, you know, his brother decides to get married.
Quite a younger brother. I mean, it looks like there's a decade or plus between them.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a good 10 years between them. And his little brother just out of nowhere decides to get married to a girl that he's been dating for 3 months, you know. And he actually says in the movie, you know, yeah, you know, we were at Costco yesterday and we were looking at the DVD wall and, you know, I just thought this is the girl I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. We've got that moment here. Let me play a little bit of that, Stuart. Yeah. Here they are. This is Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation playing Carter, and his little brother Trey, played by Clark Duke. And Carter is just dismayed at how casually his much younger brother is going to open up this very loaded subject. Here it is from ACOD.
Want to get high?
Okay,
no. I don't want to get high.
Okay,
but you're married?
What's it been, 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah.
It's been like 4 months.
Yeah, that's it's a huge decision.
Honestly, I just came up with it yesterday. We were at Costco, and she made the funniest joke about this DVD display, and I just thought, this is the girl I want to spend the rest of my life with, you know?
That's good. Are you sure you're ready for this, man? I mean, you kind of, like, you know, you live in my garage, Trey, and you don't have a checkbook.
It just feels right.
And they're from ACOD. And Carter, Adam Scott, and Clark Duke. It just feels right. And this opens for the older brother, who was the eldest sibling when the marriage of their parents broke up. Oh, the horror box just opens up here. All of the stresses and strains and fears and phobias that go with marriage.
Well, yeah, his brother's not carrying around all the baggage. You know, I mean, he feels very unencumbered. And Carter feels very encumbered. You know, he's not totally in touch with it. But so, you know, he thinks Trey's making a terrible decision. And, you know, and subsequently Trey asks him to, hey, listen, man, I want to have a wedding, you know, and I really want mom and dad to come. And to Carter, that is just the worst idea of all time. I mean, Carter has kept the parents haven't spoken in years. They haven't been in the same zip code, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, they fiercely despise one another as the film opens.
Yeah. I mean, they really don't like each other. And they've made, you know, Carter, you know, every major event in Carter's life has been colored by, you know, his parents' divorce, graduations and birthdays and everything. You know, I mean, we used to joke in the backstory about the character that, you know, he missed getting his diploma walking across the stage in high school because he was dealing with seating problems for his parents, you know, to keep them far enough apart. And which is a true story that someone had once told us. And, you know, so the whole idea of bringing them together is a terrible idea. But his brother says, you know, do me a favor, man. Just ask them. Like, you know, you know, they listen to you, you know. And I think Carter says, like, no, I patronize them. He says, whatever, you know, like, just talk to him for me. And Carter, because he is the caretaker of the family and he loves his little brother and he would do anything for him, you know, he goes and talks to his parents and tries to get them to come to this wedding.
Here's a clip where you get a sense of just how far afield from nurturing, regulation, parenting these parents have gone. Here he is after a pretty shocking surprise in the film. He's confronting his father, Hugh, played by Richard Jenkins. And his father, who's had several marriages since he divorced Carter's mother, responds in his usual no boundaries way, starting by saying, oh, son, I love you. Carter, I love you like a son. Here he is.
Oh, listen, Carter, I love you like a son.
I am your son.
Your mom and I saw each other at dinner, and we had a few bottles of wine, a very nice Chateau Yquem. And you know, we never had a physical problem. The sex was always good.
You know what? That's what you said about Elka.
No, 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 no.
TMI, too much information there. He loved him like a son. I mean, this is a father with his divorce, maybe always. He just sort of walked away from the whole standard format here. He's way out on his own, Stuart.
Yeah. I think that, parenting is hard. And I think that, it's really important to parents that they feel like, I'm a parent now and I want to believe every day that I am the best parent in the world, and we all, make mistakes and we all, we're all figuring it out for the first time. And I think that what I loved about the parents in this movie is they're not the bad guys. They're just doing what feels natural and feels right to them, you can't really criticize people for doing things that, feels right. And I love, the part that Richard Jenkins plays is such a, he feels like he's the grandmaster of the family. If Carter said to him, Dad, I'm the one that keeps the peace in the family, he'd say, "What are you crazy?"
But he's a
things I've done
dad
for this family.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about ACOD, Adult Children of Divorce, the new movie of that name just out, and the reality of adult Americans who have lived through all that as kids or beyond, how it resonates, the imprint it leaves. Stuart Zickerman is with us. He is director and co-writer of the new movie, ACOD. You can see a trailer at our website, onpointradio.org. Here's a little bit from the film, ACOD. And this is a film with Adam Scott of Parks and Recreation. Amy Poehler is in here. Very strong performance. Jane Lynch is in the film as Dr. Judith. And Adam Scott Carter thought as a boy that she was his therapist. Turns out she was just writing a study about children of divorce. Now she's thinking about doing a new one, the adult children of divorce. She wants to study him. ACOD is what she's terming it. Here's their exchange.
There's no current research about people like you.
People like me?
ACODs, adult children of divorce. It's mine. I'm getting in touch with the other subjects from my book for a follow-up. Carter, do you realize you are the least parented, least nurtured generation ever?
Sorry, I'm going to be in another book?
Yes.
No.
When you were a little boy, your parents turned to you for emotional support. They thrust you into the center of their divorce. But look at you now as an adult. You're well-adjusted, you're successful, you're responsible. Look, you're the owner of the wheatgrass.
White grass.
You're dressing sharp, you have a great haircut. I want to tell that story, Carter.
the white grass, his restaurant, there's the old therapist determined book writer who wants to write more about him. And soon, Adam Scott's Carter is back at that restaurant and thinking about what he's just read in the book she wrote about him as a child. Here he is, the adult child of divorce, back in his own restaurant asking the cooks if they agree with Dr. Judith's childhood portrayal of him.
Do you think I walk around like a victim? I don't think I walk around like a victim. Do you think I'm a negotiator? Like I'm constantly trying to keep the peace even if there's no peace to be kept? I mean, that's actually written in a sentence. I mean, that's just bad sentence construction, in my opinion. Am I living in a shell of insecurity and approval seeking?
And there's the list. Negotiator, victim, living in a shell of insecurity, approval seeking. Stuart Zickerman, how have people responded to you here? Are they saying, hey, you're stigmatizing us. There's millions of us out here. Don't paint us so wrong. Or you've got your finger on the pulse of, what it can very likely be like to live through this and then hit adulthood.
Well, I mean, people have just responded, so favorably to just being given the license to laugh about it and talk about it. When I was a kid and my parents got divorced, I was embarrassed about it, and it was, 25 years ago. So, we live in such a different world now where the whole construct of marriage has changed and, we don't judge divorce the same way. We don't judge anything the same way. Gay parents, people married out of wedlock, we don't judge, and as much. And so people are just having so much fun telling me their stories. I don't know that there's one, one basic sort of
profile.
Way that this,
or, mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, it's been so fun to hear. Everyone has a story to tell me.
We've got a lot of stories on the line right now. Stuart Zickerman is director, co-writer of ACOD, big comedy on going into adulthood with that history behind you. Let's go to Chelsea in Nashville, Tennessee. Chelsea, you're on with Stuart Zuckerman. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I was 8 years old, and I was in bed, and my mother came in, sat down on the bed, and she was crying. She said, "Your father's going to go away." And I said, "Well, where is he going to go?" And she said, "He's going to go to work." And I said, "Well, how is he coming back tomorrow?" "No." "Well, when's he going to come back?" "Well, he's going to be working a long time. I don't know that he'll ever come back." And I was just like, "What? That doesn't make any sense at all." But my brother was 7 years older than me, so he was 15. He remembers a whole different thing. But it wasn't really very surprising because we had lived through hell, you know, with them arguing all the time. And again, he has much more vivid memories of it. But there was one day when his girlfriend, my father's girlfriend, was in the garage working, you know, while he worked on antique cars. Mm-hmm. And apparently she just walked in the house and walked in the kitchen and put on a pan of water. And my mother came in and just, like, stared at her. And she said, "You know, it's winter, it's cold, and, you know, your husband needs a hot cup of tea." And so then my mother just walked out into the garage and said, "I want a divorce." Now, I don't know how it really affects me. I'm 50 years old right now, and I just got married for the first time.
For the first time. Maybe that's one indicator right there, Chelsea, do you think? Maybe or not.
It could be. And I don't really know. Everybody else seems to think that it really affected me. I don't really get it. I mean, you know, one day my brother and my mother and I were in a car. I was in the back seat, and you know, they were divorced, and I would see them like once a year, even though we all lived in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I don't like the way," because they were setting up a time when I would go to visit with them. And I said, "I don't like the way he treats me." And they were kind of quiet. And they said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, he treats me like a girlfriend." And I mean, my mother slammed on the brake. My brother just kind of looked at her, and it was It wasn't a sexual thing like that. It's just he would always, you know, he was abused as a child. He never really liked children. He told us he didn't like children, even his own. I mean, he told me that when I was 35, like it was, you know, like newsflash. I mean, I always knew that.
But you're getting married, Chelsea, at 50. So you're around that. You're around that corner at this point. I appreciate your call so much. I mean, you know, there's so many stories on our website in response to this, Stuart, but I wonder about the kind of stories that come out to you as a result of you putting this film out.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm no doctor, but, you know, there's two things. I mean, listen, we all want our parents, you know, when we're kids, we want our parents to be parents, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted my parents, you think your parents know everything and they have all the answers to things and then they start to go through this kind of thing and they don't, and they're confused and they don't know what to do. And, you know, they're hurting and you're not old enough to really understand that. And the thing is, you know, I think it's interesting the story Chelsea was just telling about getting married at 50, you know, from some of the research I did, ACODs tend to either get married very early because they want to, sort of prove to everyone that they're not their parents,
yep.
or they get married late, like I did, like Chelsea did, you know, because they want to make sure they're doing it right. And of course, there's no way to know if you're doing it right, but they, you know, there is a fear of commitment, and there is, you know, the big thing I dealt with was, oh gosh, I messed up so many relationships because, you know, I was in, I was kind of used to the chaos. You know, that I liked fighting. I thought, like, you know, when you're in a relationship, it's normal. It's supposed to be, you know, confrontational and passionate and exciting. And then I met my wife, who I don't fight with, and it's so peaceful and lovely. And I remember thinking, like, oh wait, this is how it's supposed to be. And the truth is that, you know, whatever kind of divorce situation, like, ACODs don't have role models for love. You know, we just don't. We have nothing, you know, so we're kind of out there trying to figure it out for ourselves.
ACODs, Adult Children of Divorce, and it's the name of the new film. Here's just a little snippet where your Carter, the eldest son of the fiery breakup in the film, he doesn't want to repeat that. He doesn't want to echo their relationship. Here he is talking with Jane Lynch, Dr. Judith, about all that.
So you're afraid of making the same mistakes your parents made?
No. No.
I'm going to call that echoing. Echoing.
Don't write that down.
I love it.
No, it's not echoing.
No, it's not echoing, but maybe it is. Mike in Stillwater, Oklahoma. You're on the air. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's your story?
Hey, gentlemen. Nice to talk to you. Well, my story is, you know, this is kind of ironic because most children, when parents get divorced, it it brings sadness and sorrow, whatever you might. In my situation, it was more elation than anything else. The divorce wasn't what caused damage to, at least in my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
It was what led up to it. You know, it was the mental abuse, the physical abuse to both my mother and the kids.
So things got better with the divorce in your case, Mike. Things got better.
Got better in that case. And I didn't really think that it had an effect on me, but, you know, it has. I mean, I grew to hate arguing and fighting so much that the first sign of any kind of trouble, I was out. You know what I mean? And I just didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want to be confronted with those kind of problems. My whole attitude was I went through this as a kid. I'm not going to go through this as an adult. Back then, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Now I do.
What about kids? You know, do you have kids, Mike? Does it affect the way you parent them?
I do have children. I have two that are in their 20s, and I have one that is 8. And, well, regrettably, her mother and I are divorced. But, again, you know, in my opinion, it's better to subject a child to the fact that the parents don't live together anymore and just reinforce that, you know, we still love you. We just are not in love with each other, than it is to stay in a relationship where you're just going to teach this child that fighting and arguing and infidelity and all these other things that lead up to divorce is the normal and that's accepted and that's just part of marriage, because that's not what marriage is about.
Mike, we hear it loud and clear, a good thing in your case and no doubt many others, but a long tail with it at the same time, another ACOD, adult child of divorce. Stuart Zuckerman, please stand by. Director of the new film. I want to bring in another voice right here. You said you're not a doctor. Well, we've got a clinical social worker right here with us. Courtney Zazali joins us. She's faculty member at the Ackerman Institute for the Family in New York. Courtney Zazali, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I think you've seen Stuart's film. It is a comedy. There are serious issues, obviously, in it. Well, what did you think of his depiction of what it's like down the road, years down the road, for adult children of divorce?
Well, I think Stuart did a very good job of portraying the historical and present experience of an adult child of a highly volatile divorce. As we see Carter, become triggered by his brother's recent engagement. And the truth is, this movie, if you look at this specific family, it is an example of what happens when there is a bitter and contentious marriage and divorce.
So it doesn't. You're saying what he's showing here. I mean, it starts with his 9-year-old birthday on old family scratchy homemade film, and it's just terrible. I mean, he can't even get the candles blown out. There's such a huge, terrible fight going on. You're saying if it's not that way, then there's not as long a tail, or is there always a long tail, just more or less wounding, if that's the right word?
Well, we think, clinically speaking, that when there is an acrimonious divorce, then usually boundaries are not in place to protect children emotionally. And then kids carry that emotional responsibility of one or both their parents, and that's very burdensome, much like we see with Carter. And it has the potential to affect their ability to emotionally relate to others. But that being said, that's just one small example of a divorced family. There are many opportunities where we see adult children of divorce coming in and having insight and a different kind of perspective on how they want to be, whether they're getting married or even if they're getting divorced and they have children involved.
We heard his lead character, played by the wonderful Adam Scott here, Carter, talking about, you know, being depicted as a victim, a negotiator, having the shell of insecurity, being approval-seeking. Now, that's a, you know, that's a fictional doctor writing about a fictional character. But do you see those traits coming up with some regularity in these circumstances, Courtney?
If the child, again, is a one of, mm-hmm. if the adult child, I should say, is one who came from such a negative experience, they might have a little bit more difficulty in regulating their emotions, and they might have a bit of a little breakdown that we saw Carter have in the movie. But there's this piece of Carter that he took on this responsibility to forge a fragile peace, as he said. And this huge responsibility was on him. And once that was started to alleviate, when we see that with adult children of divorce in the real world, then there's more opportunity and freedom to let go what happened in their past.
I mean, if the parents reach some kind of accommodation, or in what circumstances, then more freedom?
two ways. I think if the parents have a different approach and they are there to protect the child and talk them through what's happening and emotionally support them as well as keep them from the conflict that's going on, then there's freedom and opportunity for the adult child to look much different.
I mean, there's such a huge portion of our society at this point that where the people are ACOD, to use the Stewart's term here, which comes out of fiction, may turn into something used in life. But is there widespread research, Courtney, on long-term effects, or is this all about anecdote?
Well, you know, every obviously family is different, but the overall research, and I'm not a statistical researcher, I'm a clinical, coming from a clinical perspective, but what I would say is that most of the studies reveal that there is more of an 80-20 divide that shows after a short period of emotional readjustment, 80% of children do reasonably well after a divorce, both in the short and the long term. But again, that biggest predictor is if the children are insulated from the parental conflict.
If they're insulated. Stuart, in your childhood, you saw this in your family. You saw it in the kids around you growing up. You know, from that perspective on life, do you see a difference? If it was fiery, we've got one kind of situation. If it was amicable, we've got another?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I read something really interesting once about, you know, having kids is the most selfless thing you'll ever do, right? You know, you'll birth them and change them.
Could be, can be.
It can be, yeah. And, you know, getting divorced is technically it's a selfish act. It's something you're doing, you know, for yourself. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but, you know, if things are not right, you should. But, you know, much as Courtney's saying, you know, the most selfless thing you can do is to keep your kids out of it. And I did find, you know, and especially in people I talked to, you know, when I was growing up 25 years ago, this was all kind of new. You know, there weren't systems in place for kids to get counseled about this stuff. You know, we went to family therapy to try and talk about it and, you know, and stuff like that. But as acrimonious as it can be, I do think that the more kids are left out of it and you know, not clued into every machination of it, and the parents aren't turning to their kids for support, I think that is the best scenario. I do think that, you know, Courtney touched on something that I really do believe, that whether it was contentious or not contentious, I really do believe, you know, part of becoming an adult is letting go of certain aspects of your childhood. And that's why I always loved the notion of adulthood being part of this movie, you know, because Carter thinks he's an adult, but he's not. And the journey of the movie is becoming an adult. Whatever his parents did when he was a kid, like, he's now an adult and he is free to make his own decisions and his own choices and his own mistakes.
But does becoming an adult mean he's over that, or he just sees how that hit him and now he's got his own hands on the steering wheel?
It's putting it in perspective, you know, because we're not destined to repeat the patterns of our, you know, the patterns of our parents or mistakes of our parents or the good things about them. You know, we're not predetermined to do that. So I do think that, you know, looking back on your parents' divorce, putting it in perspective, you know, understanding it a bit and understanding your place in it, you know, does help you as an adult.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about adult children of divorce. The new movie ACOD, the acronym right there, just out, and the reality of adult Americans who have lived through all that as kids or beyond. Stuart Zuckerman joins us from New York. He's director and co-writer of the new movie. Courtney Zazali is with us as well from New York, clinical social worker, faculty member at the Ackerman Institute for the Family. In the film, and it's got all kinds of big names and wonderful acting in it, Jane Lynch, Amy Poehler, Richard Jenkins, Catherine O'Hara, and Adam Scott of Parks and Recreation as the primary ACOD here. His much younger brother, sort of blithely preparing to get ready to get married, Carter calls his parents back in. He's trying to convince them and their latest spouses to get together and behave themselves for their younger son Trey's wedding. It's no easy task. When Carter tells his mother, played by Catherine O'Hara, about the plan, well, here's what ensues.
You know what? I'll go to a wedding with your father.
You will?
Mm-hmm. As soon as he pays me that $485,000 he owes me for my share of the lake house.
You know, Larry Ellis was water skiing there last weekend, and he saw a light on. Is your father using it?
You know he's not allowed to use it.
Mom, no one's been there in 20 years.
Because he's renting it! He's renting it! Anything he earns on that house, I get half. That's in the settlement agreement. That's how that works. You know your father's refusing to put it on the market just to spite me? That means your father is stealing from your mother. That must really bother you.
I don't.
How does that not bother you? It doesn't seem to. Please tell me you are not your father's son.
Not your father's son from ACOD, and poor Carter cringing there under an old, too familiar lash of anger when it comes to that. The director, Stuart Zuckerman, is with us today. Courtney Zazali is with us. She talks with lots of families. Boy, we've got people with stories online, Stuart, Courtney. You know, Nezra says, my parents divorced when I was 9 and tried to protect me by not admitting it until I was 11. I'm far less willing to settle than others, I guess, as an adult. I have an aversion to cheaters and cheating, and I don't see myself entering a marriage if I even have an inkling that it wouldn't work out in the long run. Lots of stories there on Facebook and onpointradio.org. Courtney, what about that sort of hesitation response on adult children of divorce when it comes to their own relationships? Where does that kick in, or does it?
Well, for the person that you're just speaking about who wrote that, they weren't completely protected. It was with good intention that I think their folks did not speak to them, but that was a negative consequence just the same because there was a lack of knowledge and an ability to be able to process their emotions with it. So in a sense, that could have stilted them in some way or affected how they are approaching their relationships going forward. But again, I don't see that as being the hindrance that would ever stop someone from being able to have a successful relationship because of what they saw their parents go through.
Stuart, at the end of the film, under the credits, you've got so many of your crew talking about their own divorced parents and its impact on their lives. I don't know how hard you had to search through your crew to find that, but it's really an arresting lineup, one after another after another.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I really didn't. They, while we were shooting the movie, we shot the movie in 24 days. And over the course of shooting, you know, the crew would come up to me during lunch breaks and coffee breaks, and they would, you know, just because they felt like they wanted to talk about it. Again, this movie makes people want to talk about it. And so they would tell me their stories. And so the very last day of shooting, I decided to bring my video camera and I said, during lunch, I want to hear all those stories that you guys told me over the course of making the movie. And they all lined up one after the next. And I came back from the shoot and I edited it together because I just loved how grounded it was. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
The tone of this movie is tough. Like you want to, you know, I want it to be funny, but it is, you know, there's a real undercurrent of drama to all this. And, you know, people, I tried to put in stories where people said, you know, somebody said, I think, you know, I'm an ACOD. Everyone on this crew is. And then I cut to someone who's like, I am not an ACOD.
You know? Yeah, yeah. But a whole lot were and had plenty to say about it. In a few words, lots of resonance, lots of emotion. As you sat and talked about this, you've written a lot. How did you sort through what's funny and what's not about this circumstance, this state of being, if you will?
You know, I always found that the emotions of it were not funny. You know, people feel either, you know, frustrated or sad or confused. Those are not funny emotions. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stories are funny. You know, I remember someone telling me a story about how their parents got into a huge fight in a restaurant and the mom was like, you know, stormed out of the restaurant and everyone's sitting there frozen and they made a whole scene. And then the mom had actually not stormed out of the restaurant. She'd stormed into the kitchen because she didn't know which way was out.
Oh,
so she had to walk back through the restaurant and go back out the other end. You know, and, you know, the stories are funny. You know, I had a funny one from my life that we tried to put in the movie that when people read the movie, they didn't believe it was a real story. You know, we called it the hysterectomy conspiracy.
What?
Some funny thing in my family.
Okay.
So the stories are funny when you take them at face value. And again, when you're an adult, you know, look, I'm an adult. I'm in a wonderful marriage and I'm really happy. And I've put sort of, you know, my ACODism, as I like to call into some perspective. But the stories are funny. You can look back on them and laugh at them along with feel the sorrow about them.
Funny like ha-ha or funny like so sad you had to laugh?
The right kind of funny. You know, the kind of funny that makes for, you know, what I think is a great comedy drama, you know? I mean, it's certainly not an over-the-top ha-ha, you know? I'm not trying to make fun of anything here. I just think that when we, you know, either as kids or as adults, when we deal with this kind of stuff, we tend to be dealing with stuff that's pretty absurd. You know, the fights are absurd. People fighting over, the guy who wrote the movie, my friend Ben Carlin, knew this funny story about, parents exchanging their kids in a diner parking lot, you know, on the side of a bridge where they wouldn't cross a dividing line, you know, like one wouldn't come all the way to their car, the other wouldn't go all the way to their car. Yeah. Like the pettiness is really like at face value is funny, but it is sad.
There's a little piece in here where Carter, again, played by Adam Scott, who's wonderful. He's got a kind of Buster Keaton quality to the way his face works. Gets his parents together at a restaurant. They don't know he's doing it. They've had this fiery, long-term unmarriage after their divorce. And then sort of lays it, it looks disastrous, but he lays it out. He says it's going to be different. Him trying to get control to get them together and into his younger brother's wedding.
You've destroyed this evening. What have you done?
It's just been ridiculous.
Is it? I don't know. Look around you. The building's still standing. I mean, you're both in the same room, and somehow the universe hasn't folded in on itself. You know, I brought you both here tonight because you have turned a 9-year marriage into a 100-year war. And I am officially over it. We're playing by new rules now, okay?
New rules, maybe, from Stuart Zuckerman's ACOD. Marina's calling from Chicago. Hi, Marina. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hello. I wanted to respond to an earlier clip that you played of the sibling, the younger sibling wanting to be married and the older sibling feeling like, this is crazy. How can you do this? Yeah. I was the younger sibling, and my older sister was very affected by the divorce of my parents. And I seemed rather blithely to have sailed through the whole thing. I don't know how many other environmental factors or nature factors are involved in that about how different we are as people, but the result is that I'm happily married almost 25 years and don't have any discernible effect, whereas she struggled with relationships her whole life. So, I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, so you're sort of like maybe the younger brother in the film. I mean, how big is the gap between you and your sister, who was older and saw it more vividly, felt it more deeply, Marina? Are you sort of day and night when it comes to comfort with relationships or not?
Yeah, kind of. And it's only 18 months difference between us.
Wow.
But she, at the time, my mother remarried fairly quickly. And at the time, my mother... my sister would ask questions like, why can't you have them both? Like, she didn't understand leaving one father for another, whereas I literally moved houses and I don't even remember. So I don't know if it's, you know, I was 4 at the time. I don't know if I was just sort of in la-la land as a 4-year-old or if I was just in la-la land as a person. But
but you've lived it and you've seen the difference with your sister. Courtney Zazali, what about it? Are there better and worse ages at which for kids to go through their parents' divorce, more or less impactful ages in which to experience that?
I don't know that there's better or worse ages. It sounds like there was a very different experience for Marina and her sister, and there is a piece that, you know, regardless of the problem, but specifically because we're talking about divorce, no matter what the age is, every person in the family is having a different perspective around the same issue. So environmental, age, support systems, neurobiological reasons, there are many factors that can influence why someone's experiencing it differently or not as negatively as another person.
I mean, we've got people online here. Kitty says it happened when she was an adult, and she wasn't a child when it happened. She was in graduate school. She said, at first, I wanted to believe it wasn't a big deal. I was an adult out in the world on my own. But after a year of living in denial, I realized it was incredibly devastating. In her case, even as a young adult. Chase in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Chase, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. The one thing that I wanted to mention is, throughout my life, I've been through 3 divorces.
How old are you, Chase? How old are you?
23 years old now.
23. So your parents, different parents, a succession of divorces among your parents and step-parents, I guess.
Yes. And despite everything, I've seemed to have cordially slid by it, almost kind of like the younger sibling, but I still feel the effects of it. I've had 5 families now, my mother and my father and their parents, and then my father got married and divorced with another woman. My mother got married and divorced with another man. And And finally, my father found the perfect woman for him. And I still keep in contact with all of my families. And the one thing I wanted to ask is, what are some of the good parts about divorce? What do you feel, you know, I've had so many adventures with so many people, and I've learned a lot of good and bad lessons from all of this, and I want to be careful when I get into a marriage myself, but, you know, my father's a hard conservative, my mother's a liberal, and my mother continues to say that I'm conservative compared to her, and my father continues to say I'm a liberal compared to him.
And you've got five families of experience. That must make the holidays really overwhelming sometimes. But maybe
50 to 60 Christmas cards.
Oh boy. Chase, I appreciate your call. Courtney, how about it? The upside, do you see an upside of openness, flexibility, sort of a fluidity that might come with that? Or is that wishful thinking, Courtney?
It's not wishful thinking. It's a great question, and it's an opportunity to pull the strengths from what can happen when divorce occurs. By no means do people want their parents to break up, but with regards to the positive components, then if you have a very volatile marriage and it's unhealthy and that's what the child's been exposed to, then in some way one of the positives is that relief from that anger and, awful, volatile childhood that person's going through. The other thing is, you know, there's an ability to learn how to communicate more effectively despite the separation. So they could be modeling for their children how to be connected to multiple family members. Having, you know, five families across the board for this person, Chase, has allowed him to expand and grow in these different relationships, whether they're biologically related or not.
I mean, I wonder if we've got some people online asking about saying, hey, is divorce the big issue, or is if there's been an evolution over time in how we look at it? You were saying, Stuart, that, you know, it was more of in the Kramer versus Kramer, the movie from back in, what, 79, it was necessarily a big upheaval and tragedy. And it was not to say it isn't these days, but these days, another piece of evolution is a lot of families, there's not a marriage there in the first place. I mean, I'm looking at the latest figures. I've seen more than a third of women who give birth this was in 2011, were not married. There's not a marriage in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think so many of the social constructs have fallen apart. And I don't think, you know, I really like what Courtney was saying. And I think what the last caller was saying is very, very true. I mean, even in my own family, it's so much about the now. I think that, you know, part of it is letting go of what's gone on in the past and realizing, you know, I have personally, I'll say more than 10 stepbrothers and stepsisters. Okay. I have adopted stepsister. I have, but they're all family to me. I mean, they're all my new family, and you can choose to, you know, accept people and accept the situation. And it really just broadens, you know, my kids have 8 grandparents, you know, and they will grow up not thinking that there's anything weird about that. That's because my wife and I both come from divorced families. So we have, you know, my kids have 8 grandparents. And I think that that's the new world we live in. And I absolutely think there's, you know, I wouldn't call them advantages from divorce, but I do think that it teaches you a certain resilience and a certain acceptance of who your family is. My parents are incredibly passionate, loving people. And whatever mistakes they've made, it doesn't matter anymore except for now.
Courtney, is there a sense in which I don't know. You could take away from that maybe the nuclear family that was so treasured was too treasured. On the other hand, people really have treasured it and still do. Is there something, you know, is it not to be treasured even in a time when people don't get married so often and many do get divorced? Do you still look at the nuclear sort of intact family as something to be treasured, or is that old-fashioned thinking, Courtney?
It might be a little old-fashioned, but what I would say is that it would be important to treasure any type of family. So whether it's a nuclear family or, as Dr. Constance Ahrens, who wrote The Good Divorce, puts it, the binuclear family, where there's that split, but the family's ever expanding because of the divorce. So, you know, it's not about treasuring one or favoring one over the other. I think it's being welcoming to the idea that there can be healthy models and healthy relationships amongst all of those types of families.
Well, it's a huge range today, people coming at it with all kinds of experiences and, of course, then rolling right on into adulthood, making them, in Stuart Zuckerman's lingo, ACOD, Adult Children of Divorce. Jane Lynch comes up with it as Dr. Judith in the film. I don't know that I'd want her as anything like my therapist, Stuart. Jane Lynch is a bulldozer to have when you're sitting down talking about your personal issues in your film.
Yeah, she, I spent a fair amount of time in therapy in my life, and she's not like any therapist I've ever had. certain things come down to just making a movie, and when it came to writing the movie, Ben and I did not want just a standard therapist character, and we loved the idea of a down-and-out, you know, researcher who had, who, when Carter knocks on the door, like, she sees opportunity right. more than anything. I love that.
Jane Lynch plays it big in ACOD, the new film from Stuart Zuckerman, director and co-writer. Stuart, it's been great having you with us this hour. Good luck
Thank
with the
film.
So Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
And Courtney Zazali at the Ackerman Institute for the Family in New York. Courtney, thanks so much for coming in this hour.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for your patience. I'm wrestling with some kind of cold here, but it's great to have you along as always. Thanks for joining us. You can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Thanks for joining us this hour. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.